Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
All right. Good morning. Good morning. Fusion Church, 6 a.m. soap. How are you feeling? Are you ready for this one? Can you hear me okay? I get some thumbs up. All right. Doug's in the tropics. I'm jealous, Doug. I'm going to want to hop on a plane here in a little bit and we'll meet you over there. I'm excited for this one. Today we are in 2 Chronicles 27, continuing the story of the kings of Judah. And hearing, you know, what they went through. And we're going to talk about Jotham today. King Jotham, a good king, a righteous king, a king who followed the Lord. But it's a short chapter, only 9 verses. So imagine your entire life is brought down in just a handful of verses. But we're gonna dig into it. All right. So really excited for this one. This weekend, big weekend for Fusion Church. It's Miracles in Motion weekend. So you guys are gonna hear some updates about the various building projects. Cumberland County specifically, hey, at the end of our second service, we're gonna be taking a field trip down to our new location in Newfield. So you guys can get a glimpse on the progress we've made with the renovations of the new building. And if you were there prior to the renovations starting, and if you see it this weekend, you're gonna be blown away with some of the changes and the painting and some of the construction that's happened there. Get to take a look at the parsonage and the church house that we're going to convert into classrooms and offices and meeting places, welcome home room, and just the entire property. So I'm not talking about EHT too much because I don't go to EHT no more. I'm Cumberland County, you know what I'm saying? But if you're at EHT, you're going to get a glimpse of what's happening with the future worship center. And I'm telling you, I was back there yesterday. It is crazy what's happening. So both locations, you guys are going to get a glimpse of what's happening, and hopefully, prayerfully, you're going to see the vision. The vision is becoming more clear. I know sometimes Pastor Brendan, us other pastors, the elders, we share the vision of what's going to look like, what's going to happen, and it's hard to wrap your head around it, right? But as we get to show you guys so and give you guys some more clarity, hopefully the vision is getting clearer and you can see, really truly see how God is moving. Truly, because listen, it's not about construction projects, it's not about, you know, it's about how God is moving and moving in miraculous, crazy ways. Big weekend for us. But before the weekend, we have Wednesday morning and we have 2 Chronicles 27. So I'm going to pray and then we're going to get into it. Father, thank you. Thank you, Father, for being so faithful to all of your promises, Lord. Lord, you've never lied to us. You've always been completely real and direct. And what your word says is true. Your word says that all of your promises are yes and amen, Father. And when we look around and we see what's happening in our church, we can truly see that the promises that you've given us, the vision that you've given us, is yes and amen, Lord God. So thank you. Thank you, Father. I pray for this morning, though, Lord God, that as we dig into your word, Jesus, that we would find new truths, new things that we can hold on to, Lord God, new evidences, Father, of your divine providence in our lives, Father. Be with us during this time, Jesus, and we thank you. Amen and amen. All right. 2 Chronicles 27, and I am reading from the New King James Version. Jotham was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. His mother was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Uzziah had done, although he did not enter the temple of the Lord. But still, the people acted corruptly. He built the upper gate of the house of the Lord, and he built extensively on the wall of Ophel. Moreover, he built cities in the mountains of Judah and in the forests. He built fortresses. He also fought with the king of the Ammonites and defeated them. And the people of Ammon gave him in that year 100 talents of silver, 10,000 cores of wheat, and 10,000 of barley. The people of Ammon paid this to him in the second and third years also. So Jotham became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. Now, the rest of the acts of Jotham and all his wars and his ways, indeed, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. So Jotham rested with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. Then Ahaz, his son, reigned in his place. Amen. Amen. All right. So, very short passage of scripture for this man of God, who the word says he prepared all his ways before the Lord his God. He's a righteous king. He's a good king. He's a king who pursued the Lord, right? And wanted to do everything for the Lord. And this chapter 27, it describes his reign. He was the king of he was the son of King Uzziah. He succeeded him 25 years old. Can you imagine being 25 years old and you become king? 25 years old, you're ruling an entire nation. It's a lot of pressure, right? And again, he's portrayed as a righteous king who did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. He followed the example set by his father. However, it says the people continued their evil practices. Jotham undertook several construction projects. He rebuilt the upper gate of the temple. He repaired the wall of the city of Ophel. He built forts and towers and fortresses in the mountains and in the forest. He engaged in successful military campaigns. He fought against the Ammonites and which resulted in them paying tribute for the first 3 years of his reign, tribute from the Ammonites. And then it concludes that, this chapter, that he became powerful because he walked with the Lord his God. And when he died, his son Ahaz takes over. Verse 2 says, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. He was another king of Judah, generally good. There was a lot of good kings in Judah. But as we've seen, the kings of Judah, they stand in contrast to the kings of Israel, right? Way more good kings of Judah versus, good kings of Israel. There weren't very many good kings of Israel. It says, according to all that his father Uzziah had done, this pattern is seen in both the kings of Israel and Judah, when where the son reigns as his father had before him. And while this is not concretely predetermined that the son is going to reign at in the same manner as his father, there's a very strong principle that we can see here, and it's about the influence that a father has over his son. When we see here, when the father was righteous, the son was normally righteous. When the father was evil, the son normally was evil. And of course, there are always differences where you'll read about a son taking over and it says he did not follow in the path of his father, for good or bad. If the father was bad, he became good, and vice versa. But it goes on to say, yet he did not enter the temple of the Lord. This is really important. He regarded Charles Spurgeon writes, he regards his father's sin rather as a beacon to warn him away from that rock in which Uzziah's life had been wrecked. Uzziah's sin was pride. And Uzziah was still a good king, but he had pride in his life, and he had disobedience, you know, and he wanted to perform a task that was not his to perform. This task, you know, was he wanted to go into the temple and burn incense on the altar of incense. This was an act that only consecrated priests were allowed to do. But Uzziah, Jotham's father, he was the man, right? He thought he could do whatever he wanted to do. He was a good king, you know? So I'm a good king. I follow the Lord. I should be able to do this. But it was not his act to do. It was not the part for him to play. And he was warned by the priests. Over 80 priests warned him, don't do this. You cannot do this. This goes against the law of God. And yet he did it anyway. And when he did it, leprosy broke out over his entire body while he was still in the temple. I imagine it was instantly, you know, he's wanting to burn some incense, right? And as soon as he lit that incense, leprosy broke out over his body. And he remained a leper for the rest of his life until he died, right? Uzziah, a generally good king, but his life changed like that because of his pride. And so his son Jotham sees the mistakes of his father and is like, I ain't gonna be that guy. You know, I love daddy. I love my daddy. But I ain't gonna follow in those footsteps, right? But it says, continues to say in verse 2, but still the people acted corruptly. This word still is important because it tells us that this corruption did not begin with the reign of King Jotham, but it continued from the days of his father Uzziah. Even though Uzziah was a good king, he was a righteous king, the people were still tripping, right? They were still doing their own things. They were still worshiping the Baals, and they were still, you know, acting corruptly, excuse me. Though he had a bad end in King Uzziah, his personal character was still generally good, yet it still seems, you know, in general, that he was still more godly than the people. We see in various kings and some of the stories is that when the king acted righteously and he instituted certain things, and, you know, the people would follow. But we can also see that no matter how good of a leader you are, people are still going to do peoply things. Right? People are still going to do what they want to do. You know, and that as a leader, as a pastor, that's very frustrating sometimes. Right? Because, you know, we try to set an example, we try to lead. You know, some of you guys, you come to us, you ask for counsel and advice, and we pray, and we give you the best, you know, answer we can, you know, biblically sound, spirit-led answer, right? And you still do what you want to do. And then you want to be mad at the church because your life's a wreck, right? You know, you're still going to make your own decisions. King Uzziah, King Jotham, they were living righteous lives, right? They were setting an example, and the people still acted corruptly. At that point, as a king, as a leader, and you just put your hand up, like, you know what? Do you, boo-boo. You know, do you. You guys do your own thing, right? I'm going to continue to follow the Lord. Verse 3 says that Jotham, he built the upper gate of the house of the Lord. This is really, really important. This is a very extremely positive sign in the kingdom of Judah. When kings and leaders were concerned about the house of the Lord, you know, and it reflected a measure of spiritual revival that was going to take place. And it seemed that when it talks about the upper gate, it appears that Jotham rebuilt the link between the temple and the palace. All right. So imagine the temple and the palace are next to each other. And there was I like to think of it more like a bridge between the two. And so he built the bridge between the palace and the temple. It seems that Jotham wanted complete and free access to the house of God. He wanted to strengthen the link between the two houses. He wanted to keep in communication with the source that supplies all of his strength, all of his needs, all of his wisdom. And this is one of his secrets to his prosperity and to his power. The link between the palace and the temple. His father, Uzziah, he misunderstood this link between the royal house and the house of God. Yesterday's in 2 Chronicles 26, he demanded priestly authority. And it cost him his life. And many kings before Jotham, they wanted no link between the palace and the temple. They want to make their own decisions, free from any counsel of the priests, free from the presence of God. They want to make their own decisions, right? They wanted to live their life the way they wanted to live their life, right? I'm sure they would go to the temple every once in a while. Yeah, I love the Lord, blah, blah, blah. And many were righteous kings who pursued God and followed the ways of God. But Jotham, he wanted a direct link. He didn't want to have anything in between him and the presence of God. Now, the people of Israel, excuse me, for the people of well, the Israelites, period, the temple represented the presence of God. Right? And so Jotham wanted nothing to stop him from getting into the presence of God. This is an attitude, brothers and sisters, that we all need to have. We all need to be wanting to always be in the presence of God. And if anything gets in your way, you punch through it. You don't let anything stop you. You pursue the Lord with all of your being. Like Jotham, you wake up, you get into the presence of God. You go about your day, you remain in the presence of God. And you know what's awesome, guys, is that we don't have to worry about a temple to go to get into his presence. You don't have to go to the church to get into the presence of God. You don't have to go to one of our locations and go into the worship center to get into the presence of God. No, you have the presence of God. Woo, right where you are at right now. You have access to the presence of God 24/7, 365. But why do we avoid the presence of God? What are we afraid of? I'm calling somebody out today. I don't know who I'm calling out, but I'm calling somebody out today. Why are we afraid of the presence of God? Why do we avoid the presence of God? Why do we only try to get into the presence of God when we need something? When we have to have a question answered, when we have a problem in front of us, then we want the presence of God. Then we want to be in tune with him. Then we're up at the altar praying and crying and, oh Lord Jesus, come and help me. Right? Maybe I'm tripping. Maybe I don't know what I'm talking about. Jotham wanted to always have access to the presence of God. And the difference between us and the Israelites was that we don't have to worry about a temple. We don't have to worry about a church. We don't have to worry about having four walls around us. We have access 24/7, 365. I pray that we all have this attitude as King Jotham to always be seeking the presence of God. The word says, pray without ceasing. That means you can go about your day and just be talking to God. Right, go about your day just being in communion with him. And I'm telling you, things will begin to shift, okay? Just being in his presence, not even asking for anything, not even seeking an answer, just being in his presence, right? Just being. How come we can't just be? Just be with God. Just be. But oftentimes we want to go into the presence of God to gain something on the back end. If I go to church and I serve one, sit one, right? I'm on the dream team, so I'm going to serve my one service. Then I'm going to go sit in the second service. I'm going to make sure I raise my hand on the second song, right? Two hands on the third song, right? I might do a little spin. Oh, Pastor Brennan made an awesome point. I'm going to shout him down. Go ahead. Amen. Yes, 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 yes. Okay. I feel the presence of God. Okay, God, this is what I need. You guys, we're missing the point. We think that if we do certain steps, then God's going to move. And all God wants from us is to be with us. How crazy is that? How amazing is that? That we have a God, right? Who was before, is, and will be to come. We have a God who has been around since before the existence of time. We have a God who was God before any one of us was alive to even call him God, right? And what does God want from us? Just us. Just to be with us, just to be in communion with us, right? It's that simple. It's that simple. Jotham, he wanted to be with God. And so, like I said, many kings prior to him wanted no link between the palace and the temple. But Jotham understood that he was a king and not a priest, and he wanted a good, open link between the palace and the temple. He wanted all of his decisions to be filtered through the temple. And what I mean by that, he wanted everything to go through God. Everything to go through God. It talks about in verse 4, he built cities in the mountains of Judah, and in the forest he built fortresses and towers. Jotham, he extended his concern to build Judah beyond just Jerusalem, because it's really easy. Jerusalem, the capital, the biggest city where the temple was and everything, just to focus on Jerusalem, right? But Jotham wanted to extend, right? He wanted to have influence throughout all of Judah, right? I read that and it tells me he wanted the influence of God to be throughout the entire kingdom. Verse 6 says, so Jotham became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. The building of this link between the palace and the temple was one of the chief ways that he prepared his way before the Lord. Charles Spurgeon writes, Jotham must have been a man of prayer. He could not have prepared his ways thus anywhere except at the mercy seat. He must have been in the habit of taking his daily troubles to God and of seeking guidance from him in his daily difficulties and of blessing him for his daily mercies. He must have been in constant communion with his God, or else he could not have ordered his ways right before him. He had to have been in constant communication with God. Jotham is the only one of the Hebrew kings from Saul down to him, okay? You know, from Saul, David, Solomon, the split of the nation. He's the only king from Saul to him who God has nothing bad to say. Think about that. Nothing bad to say. And we've already read about some really good kings, but there was always something when we read about them that wasn't completely good. Jotham is the only king that there's nothing bad about his reign. This shows how his character is beautifully in line with his name. What does Jotham mean? The name Jotham means Jehovah perfect. Jehovah perfect. Okay, that's not to say that Jotham was a perfect person, right? Because there's only one perfect man in the history of all mankind, and that's Jesus Christ. Right? But he ordered everything before the Lord. He did everything for God. That's the point. Verse 7 says, all his wars and his ways. 2 Kings 15, verse 37 says, in those days the Lord began to send Rezin, king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, against Judah. Now, when we read about Jotham, we can go back to 2 Kings chapter 15, verses 32 through 38. That's the companion about Jotham, right? Again, another small passage, you know, highlighting his life, right? And so we read in 2 Kings, you know, what does it mean when Second Chronicles talks about all his wars and all his ways. It seems that under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the writer of Second Kings tells us that this was the hand of the Lord that sent these foreign rulers to trouble Judah. See, during Jotham's reign, the combined forces of King Rezin of Syria and King Pekah of Israel to the north began the invasion of Judah. They were foreign enemies were coming in, and they were trying to take over. But the full impact of these military assaults was not felt until Jotham's son becomes king. And when his son becomes king, we're going to read about here in the next day or two, then we're going to see the full impact of what these invasions mean. The reference to all of Jotham's wars suggests that prior to this campaign, that he was responsible for as the king, right? Because we read about in the beginning of his reign, he had wars against the Ammonites. But prior to him even becoming king, he had wars in his life. Right, and he may have served as a field officer under his father Uzziah, right, and taken on other nations. And verse 9 comes, it concludes this chapter. So Jotham rested with his fathers after the stories of the previous kings, right, each of whom who started well but finished poorly. It is a relief to read about a king who did not have a disappointing end. He was a good king. His reign was good. And the Bible doesn't specify how he died, what caused his death. I mean, he was 25 years old. He reigned 16 years. Do the math, right? He was still a young man, right? And I didn't do good on math, so I can't give you that answer right away. But 41, okay. So he was 41 years old. And so very, very young, he died, right? And it doesn't matter how he died, really. What matters is that he finished in the right way. So Jotham's reign, and we're going to begin to close here, it provides a valuable lessons for leadership. It provides a valuable lessons for personal conduct, right? It talks about faithfulness and integrity, remaining faithful to God's commands, even when others do not. It would have been easy for Jotham to follow the example of his predecessors, follow the examples of other kings that were around him. But no, he pursued God with everything in him. We can learn about wisdom and discernment. He learned from the mistakes of his predecessors, and he made wise decisions. He learned from the mistakes of his father, going into the temple and trying to do more than what he was authorized to do, and he ended up dying because of it. He did not want to follow that same route. So he learned from his predecessors, and he used wisdom and discernment, right? We can learn about, strengthening and building, investing in, he invested in the infrastructure and the future security of the community. How are we investing into the future? Right? Because when it talks about him building cities and fortresses, it's not just about what right now. His current situation, he was investing into the future invasions, right? Future situations that would happen, And so he was thinking about not just himself and what was going on around him right then. He was thinking about his sons and his grandsons and his sons' sons, right? So and strengthening it and building for the future. We learn about obedience and prosperity, understanding that true success and power come from a steadfast walk with God every day, daily, from the time you get up to the time you lay your head down to your pillow. You are pursuing the Lord. You are trying to be in relationship with Him. That is your number one priority. Number one priority, right? Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. Jotham just pursued God, and we saw the blessings that came as a result. And finally, facing challenges, we learned from Jotham, confronting and overcoming obstacles through action. But more importantly, through reliance on God. Relying on God. So important, brothers and sisters. By studying the Jotham's reign, we can gain insights into how to lead effectively and righteously. And we can learn about this even in our own context, where we're at right now, where you're finding yourself. Because every single person on this call, everyone listening later on, you are a leader. You are a leader. Let me say it again. You are a leader. I don't care what situation you find yourself. Even if you're by your lonesome, you're leading yourself, right? How are you leading yourself? And I'm going to tell you right now, the best way to lead yourself is to pursue the Lord relentlessly, ruthlessly, right? That's a word you don't hear in the church, ruthless. Ruthlessly pursue the Lord. Don't let anything get in your way. And if something tries to get in your way, someone tries to stop you, something tries to deny you, that is not of God. That is the enemy putting obstacles in your way. And I'm going to tell you right now, we are more powerful than the enemy. We learned that at Soul Care, right? We are more powerful than the enemy and his little minions, right? Because we have full power and authority, and we have the name of Jesus, amen? We have the blood of Jesus that we can claim. Pursue the Lord. And we see Jotham, out of all the kings leading up to him, from Saul on down, the only king that there's nothing negative written about. That's an accomplishment. That's an accomplishment. Pursue the Lord, brothers and sisters. Pursue him. Pursue him. If there's something blocking you, you knock it down. You kick, you Spartan kick that out of your way. And you get into the presence of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Father, thank you, Father, for this time. Thank you, Lord, for what you've taught us about King Jotham, Father. I pray that he will be an example to us, a good example, a righteous example of what it means to be in relationship with you, Lord. That should be the priority of our life. Above any other relationship, any other circumstance, above our job, above our family, Lord, you need to be our priority. You need to be number one. You've made us a priority. How dare we not make you a priority? Father, thank you. I pray for all my brothers and sisters on this call, Lord God, that you would just be with them, Jesus, that you would speak to them, Lord. Holy Spirit, reveal new things to them. Show them ways that they need to adjust, Father. Things in their life they need to tweak, Lord, as they pursue you. Father, we praise you and we thank you. Amen and amen. All right, brothers and sisters, love y'all. And I'll see you again next week. God bless.